some familiar texts this morning, but at the same time, they obviously have new things, I think, to tell us, or at least new things to consider, new ways to consider old things. There's just all kinds of possibilities, even though you're dealing with something that's well known. And as I was looking at these texts, one of the things that struck me was in Acts, where Jesus says, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority," which he says in response to the disciples saying, okay, you've come back from the dead. The only thing left to do is to restore your kingdom on earth. Okay, that's a reasonable thing to ask. This passage does have one of the most amusing questions in all of Scripture, where these two guys in white come to the disciples who have just watched Jesus ascend and then disappear. And I've often wondered what that looked like. Did he get smaller and smaller like a balloon? Did he go up into a cloud? Whatever it is, they're looking up into the sky, and these two men in white come and say, "So what are you looking into the sky for?" "Well, you've just seen a human being zip up to the sky and disappear. I think I'd look for a little while there also." I think that's a pretty normal response. But nonetheless, they're then told to go and do the things that they are called to do. Another passage that has struck me over in the various years is our Peter reading, and in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, "And the God of all grace, who called you by his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." And I have a marginal note in my Bible where I have the words "little while" in quotation marks, and then the question, how long is this? Well, 1 Peter was writing a long time ago, more than 1,000 years, maybe even 2,000 years ago. That's not a little while to me. And so looking at these two passages in particular, where we hear things are going to happen, but we don't know when, that's where the sermon title comes from. So, when? When is this going to happen? When is this little while over? Over the years, I've spoken, sometimes unkindly, I suspect, about prophetic speculation, where people are spending a lot of time trying to figure out exactly when Jesus is going to return. And that's the unkindness is certainly on me, because there's nothing wrong with wanting to know. That's different than having to know. If you have to know the outcome of something, that changes how you approach the whole project. If you want to know, that's altogether different. And Jesus' disciples wanted to know. And what they were looking for was a geopolitical kind of return to glory, the same thing that David had, or going, you know, whatever king they thought was as good as David or almost as good. That's what they were expecting, and that's what they were asking about. And Jesus said, "Even I don't know." Which must have been less than satisfying, I think. Well, the thing is that whether we know or not when this is going to happen, we do know some things that we need to do now while we're waiting. While we're waiting for this little while to finally do its thing. And when we look at our Acts passage again, when we start there, after Jesus said it's not for you to know the dates or times that the Father has sent, in other places he says that he doesn't know. What does he say next? He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth." Jesus doesn't rebuke them for wanting to know. He, in a sense, sort of ignores it because it's irrelevant to what his next statements are and what his next words to them are. In fact, his last words to his disciples. And that's that, "I'm leaving, but you will receive power. You will receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's power, which will enable you to be witnesses to me starting now." Those words that Jesus gave to his first disciples are also given to us. There are lots of different things in Scripture that are obviously just to the people at the time. But then there are others that speak to all people in all time, and these are some of them. That as we wait for Jesus to return, we will receive power, and then we will be witnesses to Jesus. That Holy Spirit that enables our relationship with God through Jesus, that Holy Spirit that's in all of us and each of us, is that very same Spirit that was in Peter and the rest of the disciples, who began this whole thing that at least one person in Acts describes as turning the world upside down. And what were they called to do? To be witnesses. First in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. So what does this mean for us? Well, I think what it means is it's the reminder that we are called to witness to Jesus where we are. That's where we begin. Some of us are called to go further, but many of us aren't. Many of us just stay exactly where we are, and we are called first to be witnesses to the people in our immediate circle, our families, our friends, our community, our neighbors, where we happen to find ourselves in our jobs or our hobbies or whatever else it is, this is where we are called to be witnesses. And then some of us are called to be witnesses to go beyond that. If we put it in sort of our more, if we localize it, if you will, I mean, we're called to witnesses in Moose Jaw. And then some of us to beyond Moose Jaw, to the rest of Saskatchewan. And then some even to beyond that, to the rest of the world. And that's a call that some have, most don't, but some have. And we see a natural progression here that our witness begins where we are and then goes out from there. And sometimes our witness goes out from there not because we leave, but because people we've witnessed to leave. And they take what we've helped them see about Jesus and understand about God wherever they go. The job we have to do is the same job that the original disciples, the apostles, had. Even though we're not apostles, we're just the people we're called to be. The Holy Spirit is with us always, and it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do this witnessing. Because for some people, the witnessing is standing up in front of people and talking about things like I'm doing right now. And for some people, witnessing to Jesus means talking to people they don't even know about Jesus. But for most of us, it's not that dramatic is the only word that comes to mind. For most of us, the witness that we do, the witness of Jesus to the people around us, is done in how we live our lives every day. We witness to Jesus by the way we treat others, by the way we treat the world, by the way we interact. All of these things are giving witness. And sometimes we are asked to speak out loud these things. And the Holy Spirit has promised to give us the words we need when the time comes for us to speak these things out loud. And this is what we are called to do while we are waiting for everything to be rolled up at the end of all things. We would like to know. I would like the answer to the question, when. I don't like waiting. One of my favorite lines in one of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride, which if you've not watched it enough times to memorize most of it, you should get on that because it'll make you a better person in many ways. There's a great line in there where one of the characters says, "I hate waiting." And I think truer words are probably never spoken anywhere. Almost all of us hate waiting. I don't like it. I tend to go, but even when I need to wait, even when I know I need to wait, I still don't like it. I'm getting better at waiting anyway. But as we're waiting for this thing to happen that we know will happen, we don't know all the details by any means, but we've read to the end of the book. If we've read the Bible from cover to cover, even if we've only read the book of Revelation and nothing else, and maybe a few other passages here and there, it's clear that at the end of all things, Jesus wins, evil loses, and the fallen world that we know will be restored to its previous perfect state. It'll be new as if it had never been before and as if it had never been marred by evil and sin. But what we do while we're waiting is we respond to what the Holy Spirit does within us. We take advantage of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us to be witnesses to Jesus wherever we are. Most of us, that witnessing, as I said, takes place in just our regular context. We're the kind of people that demonstrate the reality of Jesus within us by how we live our lives, by how we spend our money, by how we treat people. And then sometimes we are given more than that. I've spoken often in this congregation, in this context of spiritual gifts. And we all have gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to make this community work, this faith community, and then beyond as well. We have people who have that gift of helping others, gifts of compassion, of faith, people who have a gift of praying for others. We have people with the gift of wisdom, that when we're making decisions, the best decision is made, not because we're clever, although that's part of us, but because the Holy Spirit has provided a gift of wisdom for someone who can step in and say, this is the way we should go. And we have people with gifts of discernment who can tell when the Holy Spirit is speaking and when it's just us or when it's another force altogether. These are all the things that we do while we're waiting. And so asking the question when is never bad. Demanding an answer is, well, it's futile, so it just wastes energy, so it's not good. I won't go so far as to say it's bad, but it's not good. But we ask the question when, looking for the encouragement of knowing that it's going to happen, and then we get on with what we're called to do, which is be witnesses to Jesus in our immediate circle and then going out from there. We don't know how far our witness will go. I suspect all of you have had at least once that experience I've spoken of before, where someone has come to you and said, remember we had that conversation and you said that thing to me that was profoundly meaningful to me. And you think, I don't remember saying that at all. Not because it was unimportant, but because you didn't know how important it was. You didn't know how far it was going to go. None of us knows how far our actions are going to go. There's a story of a young lady who was working in a chocolate shop, and somebody came in first thing in the morning. And as was apparently fairly common, it was one of those fancy chocolatiers, asked for some help in getting something. And so the customer said, well, what would you like? What would you get? You know, just looking for something. And so she helped make the decision, make the purchase, wrapped it up, and gave it to the woman who said, thank you, and gave it back. She said, I think you need this. And she said, I was thinking of committing suicide after I left work because I didn't think anyone cared. We don't know how far our witness will go. And that's a dramatic story. I don't have any stories like that in my background. But the witness that I've done has been every bit as important, and so has yours. We ask God when because we look around and we see suffering, not just our own, but we see suffering everywhere and we think this has to end. When is it going to end? But I'm going to keep working while I wait. The disciples kept working. I'm sure it was tempting to just hang out in that upper room. If nothing else, they were afraid of what might happen to them. Look what happened to Jesus. But they kept going. They gave that witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and eventually the ends of the world, and it came to us, wherever we were when we first encountered the reality of a God who loves us more than anything, and Jesus who came to show that love. The job we have to do is a job that only we can do, because only we are in the center of our own community. And so today, I'm encouraged that even though I don't know when this will all get wrapped up and when it will make sense and I won't have to worry about my kids getting sick ever again or any of those things that are on your mind, but I'm glad I have something worthwhile to do while I wait for that answer. Amen.